back to the Fuck Manchester United Society meeting. Sorry, Hannah. We apologize for your fandom and the worst team in England. Oh, wait, that's not Manchester United. That would be Chelsea!
No, actually, I think that right now that's
like Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, or Middlesbrough or somebody.
Yeah, so anyways.
Stoke City.
We have with us quite a distinguished group of guests. We have none other than
not very distinguished.
Can I just say I'd be a lot more heartbroken if this were Milan that lost today. Can I just say that?
Oh yeah, just switch what? From now, one what? Red Devil to another.
That's okay.
We're gonna have to speak about.
Yeah, Armando, Mr. Arsenal, now Mr. Roma / really, really Espanol. Okay.
Ow. Damn.
Yeah. No.
All right. Are we dialing again?
I don't know, man.
Oh. That was a good butt whipping there.
Oh,
it was.
Oh my god, man. Oh, so we're here on Mad About Football with a distinguished. I didn't say distinguished at what. Crew of individuals. We have nothing yet. We have our boy Almond Joy, Kevin Walker.
Oh. Almond Joy.
Special K. It's think cereal.
Uh-huh.
Almond Joy. Special what K. is that?
Hey,
well, when Joy. I hear special, I think short bus, so.
Special K.
Sorry, Kevin.
Oh my god.
Kevin, are you the window licker?
Oh.
Well, I'm gonna stay quiet from now on.
Oh, man. We have...
That's the kind of dude that throws a spitball out the window and it flies in front of him and hits him in the face.
We have none other than Miss Everything from Forza Football, the lady in the group, Miss Hannah. What's going on, girl? We have...
Hey.
Hey, how can I forget my partner in crime, George Metellus? Give it up, everybody, for George. And we have El Presidente, Mando from... what was it again? Oh, yeah, Forza Football. That other guy from Forza Football. And our boy, Brian Zygo. He's been quiet back there. In the Brian Zygo from 1560, The Game in Houston. And
just chilling in Houston.
And our blogging badass... Jonathan Starling, what's going on, big dog?
Well, hey, I'm just celebrating the fact that I was the only one who seemed to have a set that actually would go out there and predict that Barcelona would actually win this match. I mean, of all the Barcelona supporters, and I believe that would just be George and Juan. I figured at least you two would have the guts to support your team.
But yet you
couldn't predict on air that Manchester United would lose. Okay. And you had to pick them.
Okay, my bad, Rush, calm down.
My bad, Nostradamus. I didn't know that we were getting paid for this.
One of these days, this guy's going to have a meltdown in the middle of one of these shows, isn't he?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, man. I usually have a meltdown once a week.
Pop a vein, why don't you, Jonathan?
All right.
Seriously.
You know what? It's all good, man. You know, hey. Yeah, okay. Good. You got us, man. You know, what can I say?
I had
my doubts, and you know, I was doubting. But you know what?
No. You know what? What you had to do is that Manchester United, you know, should have played like the other team in Barcelona. The
Oh my god. Listen to
that's what
that.
They needed to play like. They needed some steel in the midfield.
Wow.
Some balls in the back line.
Balls in the back line. There was some tackling, but, you know, has Paul Scholes ever...
No, what Paul Scholes does is not considered tackling, it's just considered performance. The man cannot tackle. That's why he doesn't start, because we know he'll get a red card in the first minute. The man cannot tackle.
And let's face it, that was a red card offense, and I think that the referee was just playing nice, going, oh, they're 2-0 down already.
Busaka didn't want to be like the protagonist, the guy, you know, He didn't want.
I think if it wasn't his first, it would have been a red card, though. Yeah.
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 You know.
Yeah.
If definitely. You, yeah, if you would have seen it, he didn't see it directly. I mean, God, it was just so red. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that, but the referee, the match one, the center referee, I thought he did a really good job with the match. You know, like a lot of games afterwards, we wind up talking about how many mistakes they made. I think he did a really good job.
He did.
He did what he had to do in order to not be the protagonist. Because when a referee's not noticed, then you know he did his job. First and foremost.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Look, Cristiano Ronaldo should have gotten two yellows and gotten kicked out as well. You know, that elbow on Puyol and the other, you know, elbow on Puyol.
Actually,
about 15
minutes.
When he
also took him out, when he went on the attack. That's another one that he should have gotten a card on.
You know what? It's not a surprise. I mean, if you've watched if you watched Barca play all year, you have to play a certain way. And if you open it up and you try to attack them, it's not going to work for you. You know,
the only teams really that were successful in La Liga were Espanyol? And Atletico Madrid. Madrid put four on them. Now they were at the Calderon, so that helps.
Now the last two or three weeks, I mean, you know, they've been resting their players, so that's a different story. But
right.
Up until recently, there have been few clubs. Numancia really early on, you know, that's before they actually, you know, came out fighting. But like you said. Maybe Villarreal played them well. Maybe Betis played them well. Espanyol, you know, played them well at home. But there were certain circumstances in those games that fell toward the other team, you know. And it's not, you know, like being a man down or people have they were deserved winners. I mean. What do they need? Like four goals to break the record of Real Madrid. I mean, it's insane. This is the club that should have won the Champions League, and they did.
No doubt. I mean,
they're the best team. They're the best team in Europe.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one part of this was not knowing who was going to be on the field where.
Right.
Today, before the game, like an hour before the game, obviously, you know, we all know how the lineups are confirmed and this and the other. I go to Jonathan, I go, hey, Jonathan, man, is it just me or Manchester looks a little bit on the defensive side?
I thought they were.
I thought they were a little bit, you know, putting Ronaldo up at the point by himself, Rooney out wide, and then having Park. Okay, Park has his moments where he's brilliant. He has his moments where he's just, you know, there. You have a Michael Carrick, a John O'Shea, and your four guys in the back.
I just hope this changes how people how clubs approach these sorts of games. You know, because if you're gonna play nine men behind the ball and try to hit people on the on the counterattack, then yeah, you're gonna win once in a while. But people are starting to get a handle on how how teams play this way. It's going to happen. So I think it's sooner or later you're going to see more people play more like Barcelona rather than this sort of English Catenaccio kind of one man one guy up on top and playing a 4-5-1 or some kind of combination of these
That's
but
dangerous.
That's
English teams play too defensive. They shouldn't.
Yeah, it's but they know that they have some physical attributes that go to their favor as well. Physically, as far as their height is concerned. I mean, there was one publication earlier last week that was talking about this. Being like the midgets against the giants. Having guys like Iniesta and Xavi going up against guys like Ferdinand and Vidic. Those kinds of matchups.
Look, what did Brian Clough say? You know, if football were to be played in the clouds, something or other, Football's played on the ground. That's where you should be playing it. You be tall, but if you don't have skill, then that's not going to get you anywhere either.
And you know
Go ahead. No, I was saying one of the beauties of soccer, of football in general, just as the nature of the sport, is that you don't have to be 6'5" to be great. You know what I mean? Look at the two greatest players of all time, you know, that they argue about, you know, Pelé, Maradona. None of them were, what, Pelé was taller and he was, what, 5'8"? Maradona's a little dude at 5'5". Messi's barely 5'7". You know, it's all about, it has, the size is not important. It's the skill, it's the speed, it's the footwork, it's the quickness. And you saw why Barcelona clearly had that advantage in that game.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll finish.
Well, one thing that I also looked at was that, you know, as far as, you know, once you see who the players are and all
George,
the...
George, what means size doesn't matter?
I'm talking about on the football field, man. I'm not talking about no Enzyte commercial here.
Alrighty then. And
well, he looks like a happy dude, if you ask me. But no, seriously, what do you mean size doesn't matter? Sure it does. I mean, look at Michael Owen. Michael Owen doesn't have the size. Is Michael Owen, you know, can Michael Owen do it now as he ages? No, he can't.
That's because he lost.
Has to get on the pitch enough to prove something. He barely plays. He's always injured.
Listen, if you look at somebody like Emil Heskey, who he was playing side by side with on their national team, Emil Heskey, he's going to go on and on and on like a, you know, Timex Bunny or whatever it is, Energizer Bunny, because he's that tall. You know, he can hold on to possession. He's not going to get pushed off the ball. I think you make your point, but I wouldn't say, you know, the beauty about football is the different body types that can play it. Small, you know, tall, lanky, players like Tony Adams, who used to play for the English side, you know, that broad center back player. That's what's great about the game of soccer, actually, the game of football, if you want to call it that. It's just the variety of different player types that can actually play it. So today we saw something that worked really well for Barcelona, but that's not to say that, you know, if their opponents had had the right makeup, they could have countered it. I think they just didn't have the right makeup, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons. Barcelona, give them all credit. Yes, they were the better team, the better style of play, the way that they lined up, the formation they used, the tactics that they used. But to counter it, I think it was also a combination of you know, I mentioned before how some of the media were mentioning Barcelona coming in cocky. And what we saw towards the end of the day, it was the exact opposite. But it was also the fact that Man U, they needed to make changes. And for everybody who was worried about the holes that were in the lineup for Barca, we saw clearly that obviously Man U had some holes in their lineup.
I saw, obviously, Barcelona remain faithful to their game, and it exposed Manchester big time. I mean, Jonathan mentioned it last week. We mentioned it last week on the show that if you're able to put Nemanja Vidic and Rio Ferdinand in situations where they have to play the ball on the ground, they're a completely different creature compared to when they have to, you know, beat a guy up in the air.
Barca has.
Go ahead, Mando.
Liverpool ran them ragged when they attacked them directly on the ground. So you're absolutely right. They were not prepared to handle that, you know, that kind of.
Oh well, look who's coming in. Hello, Kardik. You're back. Well, glad to have you back, Kardik.
Miracles never cease.
Yes, we were talking about the wonders of the British.
I'm about ready to leave too. So
we're talking about the wonders of the British media.
Oh, my favorite subject.
So anyways, I'm sorry, Mando, go ahead, finish what you're saying. Okay. But I mean, there were some things that like we were mentioning that they were being exposed by Barcelona. I mean, the fact that they had to, you know, Vidic and and Vidic and Ferdinand, I can't get the words out, Vidic and Ferdinand weren't able to play the ball on the ground. I mean, you know, Messi toyed with Vidic. Eto'o toyed with Vidic. What is it that, you know, what other things did you guys see?
I saw that O'Shea was out of position the majority of the time. I mean, he was laughable today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he also he was playing at right back. Yeah, he didn't have a very enviable task either to cover Henry. Henry pretty much toyed with him too. No, so.
Definitely. I mean, but at the same time, it's, you know, we've seen him have really good games. Mm-hmm. You know, wherever he's been played, and today he just had it was terrible. I think the one player that Manchester United were missing that did make a difference was Darren Fletcher, considering he was such a big part of their run to the final. Mm-hmm. And considering that was never a red card against Arsenal, that's kind of sad. But I guess you could say the same for a couple of players for Barcelona as well.
Abidal's was much less of a red card than Fletcher's. The thing was, and I was mentioning this to George a couple when that happened, I'm like, when you have a referee that's looking at the game from the back and he sees somebody, and it wasn't the case of the foot or anything like that. It's more the case of the hand, where the hand was positioned. And when a referee sees that, then he's going to assume he pulled him down, whether he's right or wrong.
Exactly.
On the case.
Exactly.
It's just where he placed the hand.
I just really think that, you know, like within UEFA, both of those red cards could have been taken out and both of those players should have been able to play in the game.
You know, you're right, but what the problem is that UEFA doesn't want to kind of being like a parent. They don't want to be the parent that, you know, steps over and steps on eggshells and doesn't want to make the referees look bad.
Don't want to make them look bad. Yeah, I understand. But I mean, you know. There's not much more I can say about this game other than Barcelona were the better team, because they were. I mean, other than that 10 minutes where Manchester United came out and looked very dangerous, because they did for that initial 10 minutes, you know, they gave Barcelona a scare a couple of times. You know, Ronaldo with the free kick, and then they were lucky that I forgot who the defender was, but got a foot to it right before Park got there. And then the one where Ronaldo got free and the ball just went past the... past Valdez, but past the post. I mean, you know, and then when Barcelona scored, I mean, everyone kind of went into their shell, and then, you know, Barcelona were like, oh, they smelled blood, you know, because as soon as Manchester United, like, got scored on, they went into their shell, and then they got super nervous. You could tell they got super nervous. I mean, the communication with Van de Sar to give away a corner, I mean, are you kidding me? And from there on, it was all Barcelona, because every time Manchester United got the ball, they were giving it away, you know, or Barcelona were stepping in, they were getting a foot in. And, you know, Wayne Rooney was awful.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to say that he was being, like that was the best defense that anyone could play against Wayne Rooney, but he was just awful.
Yeah.
Plain awful. I mean, I'm not going to say that it was defense. I'm just going to say he was awful.
And what about their other, you know, midfield forward players as well? I mean, I wanted to throw this back at Master Ceremonies Juan and George. What about that South American contingent? How come Tevez and Anderson were so ineffective that Ferguson had to take them off in the second half?
Well, Tevez, first of all, came in the second half because there was...
He was still ineffective.
Well, I think Tevez wasn't as ineffective as you're saying. I mean, whenever he would get the ball, I mean, he was definitely out there pushing harder. So was Berbatov. Berbatov and Tevez looked like more of a player than Rooney did the whole game.
They didn't get the touches. That was the thing. They didn't get any touches.
Here's the thing.
You're not
going
to get touches against Barcelona.
You can't expect a player every single time to come out and score. I mean, Tevez has done a remarkable job going on the pitch. And you know, when Ferguson says, hey, you know what? I really don't like you, but I need you to score for me. This time, I mean, it doesn't happen every time. You can't give a player 20, 25 minutes and expect them to tie a game for you.
Yeah.
I don't like you bit.
Oh, come on. It's plain and simple. I mean, Ferguson does not like Tevez. I mean, why do you think, you know, Tevez is looking to go to Liverpool? You know, they're not looking to get him back. I mean, it's a shame. In my opinion, Tevez is 20 times a player that Wayne Rooney is.
Oh, hell
Wayne
yeah.
Rooney is probably the most overhyped player in the world. Why? Because he plays for Manchester United.
You're not buying the story that they do want Tevez, but they're just unwilling to pay the extravagant fee for him.
If they want him bad enough, they'll pay for him.
Yeah, man, they're Manchester United. Hey, you know what? They can ask for another loan. Go ahead, Kartik. You kind of like... Go ahead, Kartik. No, I guess, yeah, okay, fine.
But we'll take Tevez and Roma. We'll take them.
You know what? Messi came out earlier at the end of last week and said, you know what? If Manchester doesn't like him, you know, we'll take him.
I mean, that Tevez, deserves a gong.
Tevez is one of the top teams, one of the top players that in the world. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's done way much more with way much less throughout his career. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, Rooney didn't do much at Everton. I mean, yeah, he was the big star on a middle table team, but you know what? Tevez did a whole hell of a lot when he was at West Ham. So for you know,
save them from relegation.
Yeah, by himself.
But in defense of Rooney, he came up at a time when Michael Owen was injury prone.
Rooney's
the English media
bullshit,
saw this young
man.
Kid at Everton. They really wanted to promote him. They're very nationalistic and xenophobic, quite frankly, in their presentation of football.
That's
how the myth was created.
Ooh, I love that word, xenophobic.
Yeah, but he's not a bad player, but he's not in an English system. And Jonathan and I had this conversation earlier tonight. In an English-style system, it actually doesn't fit him. There have been English players in the past. One guy comes to mind that played for my club, Manchester City, Ian Bishop. He came to MLS at the end of his career. That would have been very good if he had gone and played in Italy or Spain, but he just didn't fit well in an English system. And there's some truth to that with Wayne Rooney. I mean, he'd be a spectacular, maybe a world-class player if he played in a more
Latin
system.
But he's not
Carlos
Tevez. I'm sorry. He's not that.
I don't know about.
He's in another level than Carlos Tevez. I mean, I've seen Carlos Tevez play from the time he's 17 years old, and Wayne Rooney can't even. I mean, Wayne Rooney can't even buy his jock.
I don't know. I think I disagree with.
No,
that.
I mean,
he
you
could
know
buy
what?
It
Tevez,
he makes
Tevez
more money
has
than
got
Tevez, but...
Tevez has got bull's balls. You know when he plays. I mean, Rooney, fine, okay. He says fuck too many times. Okay, who cares? That doesn't make you a better player. That's bullshit.
No, that would just make them me.
Yeah.
And in the case of Berbatov, he hasn't been very good since he left the Bundesliga. The league had caught up with him. Mm-hmm. When he left, he had to leave. He came to Tottenham, did very well for a year because the Premier League defenders did not know his game yet. Now they've caught up with him. I don't think he's going to be effective in the Premier League. He's not going to be effective if he goes back to the Bundesliga. He's going to have to find another league to play in if he's going to be an effective striker.
It sounds to me like Manchester United has some serious personnel decisions to make over the summer transfer window between Tevez, the ineffectiveness of Berbatov. You got an aging Scholes. You have an aging Giggs, although Giggs probably will continue to play for a couple of years. Van der Sar is done. I don't think Manchester United is going to be back next year. They might not even make it out of the quarters.
Giggs is heading to the stables like Solskjaer was. You know,
go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say what they missed today was actually like a Solskjaer player who could come off the bench and get them that miracle goal when they need it. But Giggs is heading for the stables.
Yeah, I mean, they're the two Brazilian kids. They're going to have a future. Let's not start waving the flag of surrender right now for Manchester United. They've got ways. You know, they're a big club. They'll find a way to reload. You know, maybe they might. Yeah, fine. They might be down for a season, maybe two, but they're going to be right back. And I don't think that turnaround is going to take too long. If there is a turnaround.
Here's what I noticed in the game that I think really, if you're a Manchester United fan, really is, I guess, disturbing. I'll say disturbing is the complete checkout of Cristiano Ronaldo mentally from the game. Barcelona, you got to give them credit once again. They completely took Cristiano Ronaldo out of the game, and mentally he himself clocked out of the game. He was, I mean, he didn't get the, in the beginning he was fire, and you thought, man, he's going to break it open. And then after that initial 10-minute stretch, he was completely gone. He was uninvolved, he was frustrated. You can see he had kind of a lack of composure. And I think if you're a Manchester United fan and he's the face of your team, he's supposed to be your best player, and he's acting like that, it has to worry you a little bit. And last year they won the Champions League, but remember he had that kind of cute penalty that was saved. He's not exactly a
big
he's
time,
not a big game guy,
big game player. So yeah. I don't know. That's,
let's not start Ronaldo bashing way too much. I mean, he's.
No, I'm just saying what he did
games.
In the game.
Yeah, in that game in particular, but he's had other big games. I mean, you know.
But they've all been against English clubs, Juan. Against, that's my point about the guy. He's done it against the English national team, so he's been built up in the English press. He's because Portugal keeps beating England in major competitions, although they're not going to be in the World Cup, so they're not going to get to play England there. And he's beaten English teams in the English Premier League. And he got to play Chelsea last year in the Champions League final. Yeah. Against France in the World Cup, he checked out of that game. Against Germany in the Euros, he checked out of that game.
Well, against
today,
Greece,
against Barcelona.
In 2004.
But he was terrible in that game.
Yeah, he's
right,
shit.
Okay.
That, but let's not start saying that he's a choker. I mean, he's done it. He's still done it. I mean,
to compare him with Lionel Messi is an insult. It really is insulting.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And it's something that's been created by the British media in their hubris to try and create a super player, one, because he plays for one of their clubs, and two, because he keeps beating England in international competitions. So he must be the next Pelé, the way
that
they...
That's their job. That's their job, is to make their league seem like the best league and make sure the players in their league get the recognition they think their league deserves.
So last season, you can't say that he wasn't a good player.
I mean...
No. I don't think.
But if I were to say MLS is the best league in the world, I'd be laughed out of the room and put in an institution, rightfully.
Yeah, see, but you're not I'm sending the ambulance right now.
I think nobody's saying that Cristiano Ronaldo sucks. He's a very good player, but yeah, he's not clutch.
I hear some of his previous girlfriends are complaining.
Oh, yeah.
He's not messy. Come on, when do ex-girlfriends complain, man?
Don't you guys watch Jerry Springer?
Oh boy, not in a long time.
I can't go with you can't say he's clutch, because last season he was the one that won so many games for Manchester United. You know, if they were looking for that goal, they couldn't get that goal. He's the one that got that goal. So you can't say he's not clutch. He might not be clutch in like some super big games, but you can't say he doesn't do his job.
But they've always been against English teams.
But those are the teams.
That's the league he plays in, Cardick.
Yeah, but he
so
doesn't do
play
it at international level for Portugal in big games.
Well, you know, lately Portugal haven't done much anything altogether as a collective. So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Portugal, you can't just blame it on one player.
You know, I mean, Portugal had their share of stars, and they didn't do anything. So I mean, you know, let's not start saying that, you know, that they're the best thing since sliced bread. Okay, but I mean, I agree with Hannah. I mean, yeah, fine, they've had, but you know what?
He's talented, but he's overhyped. Okay?
Mentally, he has the mentality he still has the mentality of a 10-year-old. I think.
Yeah.
Well, he's very pouty. We all know he's very pouty. That's the game he plays. If he doesn't get his way, he's gonna pound. He's gonna stomp his feet. We should all be used to it by now. It's not gonna change. You know, I mean, he's a good player, and just because he pouts and you know, there's plenty of other players in other sports and in football as well that do the exact same thing, and just because that they haven't won the awards, no one makes a big deal of it.
Well, Rooney, I think, is a better player than Ronaldo. I think Ryan Giggs is a better player than Ronaldo. I think Ryan Giggs
is like one of the best players in the world, and
and over a long period of time, he's probably been better than anyone other than Zidane. I mean, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But Ronaldo has been elevated to the level on the same team as Giggs. It's kind of insulting because he's not a comparable player at all.
Well, they're different types of players. They really are. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like it really is like, you know, comparing a forward to a defender. I mean, you really can't, even though Giggs is not a defender and neither is Ronaldo. But at the same time, there's such different types of players, different types of minds that it's just so difficult to compare. That's why everyone has such a problem when you try to compare, you know, Pelé, Maradona, or anyone, and trying to go, who's the greatest ever? It's so difficult. You can't, because it's different for everybody. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, and it's a dumb comparison.
But when you come out there, I mean, Messi is an unbelievable player. Does he deserve to win all the awards this year? Yes, he does. But, you know, at the same time, it doesn't mean that Ronaldo doesn't deserve, you know, any awards ever. I mean, it's, you know, every year is going to be different. That's why we love the game, because, you know, one bounce on, you know, a divot right in the goal mouth can decide if you're going to win or lose. It could be luck. It could not be luck. I mean, you know, and then this game today was not luck. It was just pure skill. It was beautiful.
Here's one thing that I can really tell you guys that's happened with this. I mean, you guys have been going, without going directly into it, as far as the FIFA World Player of the Year, is that the, I guess the requirements, quote unquote, have changed a little bit because of today. I saw Leo Messi go to another level today. Leo Messi, yes, he wanted the ball. He wanted, obviously, all star players want to have the ball. But he knew, unlike Ronaldo, that he had to play for his team while Ronaldo had the team try and play for him. Now, that's part of what the FIFA World Player of the Year should be, because obviously at the end of the day, it's not Messi that wins the award. It's Barcelona that wins the Champions League. You know, it's not Messi's name that's carved on that trophy. I think, and I've seen that this the structure, that what they're looking for now is a player not only that has incredible skill, stats, but they're also looking for a player that plays for his team.
Okay, I agree. I mean, I guess then one of the players that you'd have to look at that won the FIFA World Player of the Year most lately that wasn't just the most, wasn't really an outstanding player all season was Cannavaro. I mean, I don't think anyone really thought he deserved to win the FIFA World Player of the Year. He had a good World Cup, but you can't say that everything he did with Juve that year was stupendous and he deserved to win. But, I mean...
You know what? And I was thinking about that.
That's a good point.
Was it the best player or was it the least? I mean, 2006, when we start looking at it, 2006 was not a very memorable year as far as players were concerned. And I'm talking about 2006, 2007, not the first half of 2006. I mean, the best player, supposedly the best player of our generation was coming into the World Cup and rescuing football, and, you know, I'm still waiting for him. You know, he's somewhere, you know, he's still in Milan, you know, warming up the bench.
Warming the bench, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for him to become the player of our generation, but that's never happened. I mean, in that year, was it because he was the best or because he was the least worst?
Well, Cannavaro won it clearly because he was the best defender and the captain of the World Cup winning side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, as clear as that. And if Zidane doesn't headbutt Materazzi and France wins, Zidane wins player of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
That year, that year there was nobody in the club level that really distinguished themselves. So, and the World Cup is such a massive tournament that you're gonna, you know, that's whoever does the best in the World Cup has the most memorable World Cup is gonna win it. You look at 2002, Ronaldo in Korea, Japan, he wins the World Cup. I believe he won the leading scorer in the tournament. He wins FIFA World Player of the Year. And he didn't really do anything at the club level. He was just coming off a knee injury. So,
The World Cup, Figo is the guy who had the great year that year at the club level, but then they get embarrassed by the U.S. in the first game of the World Cup, and that's it for his chances with Real Madrid.
And
Ronaldo didn't do much for them, and then, of course, he has the great World Cup, and he wins World Cup.
Well, Zidane that year scores the game-winning goal against Leverkusen, and then what happens? You know, he gets injured.
Well, Zidane is second to Ronaldo. He comes in. You got to remember. Let's roll the clock back a little bit here. If you go back to when France wins the World Cup in '98, the next several years after that, Zidane is cleaning up everything, and he gets like three Ballon d'Ors in a row from '99 to 2000. So in 2002, when Ronaldo wins, the real Ronaldo, second place goes to Zidane. And third place is Oliver Kahn, and in that, you know, this whole discussion about Cannavaro.
But does Oliver Kahn win it if Germany wins that? But if Germany wins that final, which I think they may have, if Ballack had not been suspended, I know I'm probably going to catch hell on this call for saying that, but I think Germany probably wins that final. Do you think Kahn then is World Player of the Year?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
because he was the outstanding player of the World Cup until Ronaldo came and scored the winners in the final.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how.
It was going to happen. I mean, that would have happened, but you know how Michael Ballack is in the finals.
Not very many goalies win this, you know, what we're talking about right now. Let's face it. Not many keepers are awarded it.
Not many defenders either.
Yeah,
true enough. How many Englishmen? I had to get that in there. I'm sorry. I just had to.
I heard crickets there for a second.
Yeah. Well, no, on the topic... come on, let's raise it, guys. I mean, basically, this was going to be a challenge today, which a large segment of the listening audience, maybe not now after they hear us, but they were kind of cheering for an all-English final. And, you know, speaking of awards that are being handed out, myself and Mando, we were looking through some of this stuff, and we did go through, you know, different awards, and the Ballon d'Or as an example. I think in the last... Since the start of the premiership in the last 19 years, there's only been two players from the EPL that have been awarded that award. And over all that time, over the winning years for Man U when they won the Champions League in 99 and so on. So there's only been two awarded from the EPL, and yet we're constantly inundated with this. The English league is dominating. And it's the best players in the world right now coming from this league. And not like right now, the last several years. You know, this has been, it's been building up to this point. Yet when you look at these awards, you know, with the exception of Ronaldo, and I think the other player who got it, it was Michael Owen, back between Zidane and Ronaldo. He got it in 2001. The Ballon d'Or award. Other than those two, there's been nobody else coming out of the EPL winning these top awards.
Actually, I think, it was Henri that year.
In 2001, it was Owen.
Oh, it was Owen? Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I come up with Henri? Oh, no, you won the English Player of the Year. One of
probably won the EPL.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I got my awards mixed up. Yeah, it was Henri for the English player. Yeah, okay. Anyway, never mind me.
And so other than that, we've really been seeing a majority of these players coming out of the Spanish league. Coming out in out of Serie A. So consecutively, you can go check the charts and you'll see that they've been the ones that have been given these awards and they're on the list.
Okay, well, with that, let's take a quick break. Let's go smoke the peace pipe, everybody. Calm down. We're going to be all good. And we'll be back to wrap up this show. Right back. And if I